for those songs. Thank you guys all for coming out tonight. It is absolutely wonderful to be out with my family. It has been a difficult year of being at home, and to have the opportunity to get up in front of you tonight and speak is not only extremely terrifying, but at the same time, extremely comforting. And so thank you guys for coming out. Before I begin my sermon tonight, I'd like to take a personal moment to say thank you to a few individuals. First and foremost, I would like to thank our elders. You have been a steady presence. You have been a guiding voice. You have been an ear to listen to many conversations of mine over the last year. And you have led amazingly. And I am so grateful for our elders. I'm so grateful for your leadership. I'm so grateful that you guys have made the tough decisions that you've made over this past year, and I'm thankful. Secondly, I want to thank my wife. I don't know if you guys, it's probably pretty obvious, the last year has been difficult. And she has been there for the good, the bad, and the really ugly. And she has stood by my side faithfully as my godly helpmeet, and for her, I'm so grateful. Thank you, Bridget. And then lastly, I want to thank God. God is my strength, and it's God's will that needs to be done, thankfully not mine, and that's what I hope to accomplish tonight. So I'd like to get into my sermon now. It's been a little bit over a year ago now, but in March of 2020, we packed up the minivan and we drove to Kansas City for a vacation. Over the course of that week, there were some things that had come up that gave hints that things were changing rapidly, but it wasn't until we got home that we realized the world seemingly changed overnight. And over the past year, looking back, we've encountered multiple and numerous unique circumstances. In fact, I'd like to name a couple of them, just that I've gone through, and just a few, because I think there are countless others that we could go through. But number one, we started worshiping remotely. I'm 40 years old, and I've never worshiped remotely out of my house before, for an entire year almost. I worked an entire year from home, and my only coworker was James. And my supervisor was Bridget. Never in my life did I imagine that. You'll have to get with her about my performance review after the sermon, but we've had the unique opportunity, and I hope I get this right, I looked this up on the internet today, to see Bubba in 4K ultra high definition for the first time. I mean, that to me alone was amazing. Masks suddenly became an important thing. I'm 40 years old, and up until this point, masks have been reserved for Halloween. And I tell you what, like John says about the works of Jesus and the fact that there's not enough books in the world that could hold the things that he did, I would say there's not enough PowerPoint slides to be able to document properly the unique circumstances that we've faced over the last year. However, not all of the circumstances that we went through this last year were bad. In fact, even though we went through a lot of tough circumstances, unique circumstances, there was one unexpected situation that brought about a lot of good in a dark spot. And it's that I want to highlight tonight. So during the pandemic, when we first started worshiping from home, I had the wonderful opportunity to be able to teach my kids' Bible classes on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. Now, at the time, Bridget and I decided I would take the 7 and up, and she would take everybody else. So it was me and Lucas, and then she had the little 2. As time went on, we kind of co-mixed, but let me just tell you what an awesome time that was. To sit down on a Sunday morning at first with Lucas and talk about God. I can tell you that during these classes, I realized just how important it is to teach our children and to provide them with foundational information from the Bible. What I saw was not only a strong desire to learn, but also a level of excitement that I had not seen or experienced in a long time. There were questions. There were excitement afterwards. There was note-taking. What a wonderful opportunity that was. And so that brings me to tonight's sermon, which is mainly directed towards our children, and I think we have a lot of them and more to come. But it's also a message for everyone else's love. Or it's also a message for everyone else as well. And that message is, Jesus loves me, this I know. I chose this particular song for a few reasons. Number one, it is probably one of the most well-known of all children's songs. In fact, I did some research about the song, and I didn't write down the specifics, but it has been translated into a lot of different languages. In fact, a lot of different religions have adopted the song. This song is also unique and special because this is the song that Bridget and I have sung to each one of our children before they go to bed at night since Lucas was born. So you can imagine how special it is to us. Thank you, Kyle, for leading Sing to Me of Heaven. If I couldn't make it through a sermon about that song because that was the song that my mother used to sing to me when I was a child. But mainly, the reason I chose this song is because of the message that it brings and how simple yet strong it is. And so, let's take our Bibles out and let's talk about Jesus loves me, this I know. So if you'll be turning with me in your Bibles to Galatians, the second chapter, out of all four of my points tonight, yes, I said four, I believe this is probably one of the most important. Turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians 2. Why would this be the most important point out of them all? Well, I'll tell you, we have a Savior who loves us. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and who gave himself for me. We have a Savior who loves us. We have a Savior who gave himself for us. How incredible is that to know that Jesus loves me? Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. Revelation 1 in verse 5, it says, I'm sorry. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priest to his God, and Father to him, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It says here that he who loves us and he who has freed us from our sins. Jesus loves me, this I know. I want to ask you three questions right now. And you can ask yourself these. Number one, do you know that Jesus loves you? Do you know that Jesus loves you? Number two, can you boldly proclaim that you know this? Can you tell somebody else that you have a Savior that loves you? And number three, if so, how? How do you know this? Well, for the Bible tells me so. Turn with me in your Bibles to answer a very simple question to 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. What is the Bible? Well, the Bible is God's word. It is his word breathed out. We have God's own words that tell us that Jesus loves us. We have access to God's own words. Turn with me in your Bibles to Jude. It's the little one right before Revelation. And this is the part that amazes me the most. In Jude verse 3, it says, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write, appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints." God's word has been once for all delivered. The interesting thing about that is not only do we have God's word, we have his complete collection of words. So when we ask ourselves the question, how do we know that Jesus loves us? I think we can boldly say, for the Bible tells me so. I'll tell you, when I sing this song to James at night, I always pause before I get to the word Bible. And I pause because he gets so excited and he says, the Bible. He boldly proclaims that Jesus loves him because he knows that the Bible tells us so. Isn't that awesome to learn that from a child? I'll tell you that during the Bible class that I had with Lucas and James, we finally made it to Jesus after discussing Old Testament characters. And I'll never forget the amazement when we sat down. I'm sorry, this was just the Bible class with Lucas. And I showed him the Old Testament prophecies and some of the fulfillments that Jesus did in the New Testament from the book of Isaiah in the four Gospels. And the amazement and the wonder that came over his eyes. I just remember him being so excited to be able to put two and two together, to put together a prophecy and a fulfillment. And so, indeed, the Bible tells us so, and the humbleness and the excitement of teaching children is amazing. In fact, it was so amazing that little ones to him belong. Why do little ones belong to Jesus? Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew, the 18th chapter. I'll tell you, Jesus has a lot to say in a very short message. In Matthew 18, let's read the first four verses. It says here, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" Little ones to him belong. There is a lot that goes into what Jesus tells us there. He says, and this is more of the message for adults, and you know, it in a horrible situation, putting a child in the midst taught me something, that we have to not only turn, but we have to become like children to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus also says that we must humble ourselves like children. I'm not following along with my own slideshow. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke, the 18th chapter. Luke 18. And in Luke 18, verse 15, Luke also has a message here, and he says, "Now they were bringing even infants to him, that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them, saying, 'Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.'" On those Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights when I taught them, I saw them receive the message, and it taught me something. It taught me that the little ones, they belong to Jesus, and that in order for us to inherit the kingdom of heaven, we've got to look to our young people. We've got to use them as an example as to how we become What is so unique about children that they belong to Jesus? I have a story for you. And I'm going to have to read this one. Even though I have been a Christian since I was 13 and a father for 8 years, there are little moments in life that can really drive home messages that you've studied for years. During one of my initial classes with James, this is after I'd switched to James, I realized that I had to change my teaching style to meet the demands of a four-year-old. No longer could I do prophecy and fulfillment. That really didn't work with James. But we had to start small, and so we simply started talking about God and Jesus. And if any of you don't know me, I have a lot of questions about all of the unanswered questions in the Bible. Well, not everything is revealed to us, but interestingly enough, in one of the classes, James did reveal something to me that I have been wondering for a long time. And if any of you have the same question, feel free to ask James because he will tell you afterwards. That question is, where do God and Jesus live? And you're thinking to yourself, well, the Bible says that they live in heaven. If you ask James, God and Jesus live in heaven, which is on the roof. To little ones to him belong. It's amazing the way that a child perceives things. It's amazing the way that a child sees things. And so what an amazing message it was. So to little ones to him belong. I'll tell you one other story before we get into our last point. I can still remember the morning after James's heart surgery. I think it was about 5:30 in the morning, and we were staying on the floor below him, and I got up and I went upstairs to the PICU, and I saw him, and he was hooked up to all sorts of different tubes and apparatuses, and he was in really bad shape at that next morning. And at that moment, I realized just how weak he was. I realized that he was weak. I realized that not only was he weak, but I was also weak. But at that very moment, I realized that we have a Savior who is strong. They are weak, but he is strong. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew, the 26th chapter. Matthew 26. And in Matthew 26 and verse 41, it says, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." The Bible tells us that we're weak. We are weak. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans, the 5th chapter. In Romans, the 5th chapter, in the 6th verse, it says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly." While we were weak, Christ was strong. While we were weak, he was strong and endured the cross, enduring death. We are indeed weak. We worry. At least I do. We get anxious. We get scared. We get shaken. But turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John. I think, after studying for this sermon, this may be my new favorite scripture in the entire Bible. Turn with me in your Bibles to John, the 14th chapter. John 14, in verse 1, he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." I think we could stop right there. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am going, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. He is strong. And probably one of the most intense verses that can explain this. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Isaiah 53. In verse 7. And Lucas, for your notes, this is one of those Old Testament prophecies. It says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. They are weak, but he is strong." Jesus endured a lot, and yet he said nothing. We have a Savior that loves us. The Bible tells us so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. I don't know a whole lot about Anna Bartlett Warner. But what I do know after doing some research is in approximately 1859, she wrote the following words. And I think, if I remember correctly, her sister published them in 1860 in a book. And these words were spoken as a comforting poem to a dying child. The original reads, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Jesus loves me still, though I'm very weak and ill. From his shining throne on high, comes to watch me where I lie. Jesus loves me, he will stay, close beside me all the way. Then his little child will take up to heaven for his dear sake. Yes, Jesus loves me." I hope this brief sermon has been beneficial for you. It certainly has been for me. I think sometimes the simplest of messages can have the greatest impact. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Before we close tonight, I'd like to take the opportunity to offer the invitation. The invitation is a unique and it's a special time because I know that there are those here this evening who know Jesus loves them. They know it because the Bible tells them so. They know that they belong to Jesus, but they haven't made the decision to come forward, confess their faith, and then be baptized for the remission of their sins. Well, tonight is the perfect opportunity to do so. Our family is gathered here. We're here to support you. The water is ready. Make that decision tonight as we stand and we sing the invitation song.